桑伊拉，
贵
，Why he beat Naxil？
丹舍，
丹尼埃，内格达科特。
This is Words and Culture, a series on Indigenous languages, funded by SiriusXM through the Community Radio Fund of Canada.
Haida language.The language is everything. It's the culture, it's our ceremony, it's our song, it's our dance. It's going to our old village sites and getting in touch with our ancestors. It's getting in touch with the land. Once you have a relationship with the land, that's your spirituality and no one can take it away. So if you build a strong foundation with the land, you've got something special. I see that in my grandsons. My granddaughters and my grandsons have a relationship with the land. And it's great to see. So I'm very hopeful now, today, when I see my grandchildren and...the interest in the language that's happening. I think people realize how important it is and how fragile it is right now. In Skitigut, I think there's less than 20 fluent speakers. 20, if that, maybe less. I'm not sure if, I can't say for the numbers in Kau, Masset.But I know their numbers are pretty low, too.
Sanki la. Good day. I'm Chrissy Lane Sinclair, your host for the Haida episodes. I am a Haida Cree musician and storyteller, and I am going to bring you along a journey to my Haida homeland. The first time I came to Masset since I was a kid, I think I was in Vancouver at a wedding, and I saw my Auntie Ina.And she was like, you have to come home and learn what it means to be Haida. And when an auntie tells you something, you do it. So I went home that summer and I went for a walk. She lives right on the beach, like most beautiful sunset you've ever seen. And so I went for a walk and I see this like, there's all these totem poles. And I was just like...It was so, so beautiful. And I thought it was a museum. So I like went to go in. And then there's this guy sitting there carving a totem pole. And I was like, how do I get into the museum? And he said, it's my house. And it was Jimmy Hart's house. And if you don't know who Jimmy Hart is, he's like the best carver ever. Assisted Bill Reed. Just like the guy. He's the guy.Anyway, he's like, anyway, sit down. And I just sat and talked with him for like an hour. And he told me about the poles and told me he knew my mom was like in the same grade as her. And yeah, that was kind of where I learned is just like, you just go and you hang out and learn and listen. Anyway, let's move on.In the last episode, we visited brothers Jolin and Gwai Edenshaw, who are master carvers. They created a totem pole dedicated to their father, Chief Gidansta, also widely known as Gujau. But carving and raising the pole is only part of the journey. There are many moving parts and knowledge to be had, if you're listening and if you can ask the right questions.
So how long has it been in the making from...the catalyst in your mind to now?
Well, I probably started thinking about this about 2 years ago while we're working on the memorial pole for Gathlai. That's when our dad decided to get us to do a pole for him.Figured it was time to do another feast.
Yeah, so with this one, we did, you know, a lot of back and forth with our dad. But, like, one of the things that he wanted to do was showcase some of his crests and we did mortuary style memorial pole for Uncle Percy when he passed, and that had the grizzly bear and the mountain goat. So on this he wanted, you know, other crests rather than that, because we were talking about doing a grizzly bear on here, but we did a sea grizzly to sort of showcase a different crest.
Our starting point for the sea grizzly was one of his learning pieces, so a pole that he'd carved of a sea grizzly. Well, when we were little kids, he carved it in the boat shed over a few years. Something that kind of arose somewhat organically over the process of designing and doing this pole is that the original artist that he based his sea grizzly on was actually a Gdansta. So Gdansta is his chief's name, but it was a Gdansta, I think, 6 generations ago.
Well, 1850s anyway.
Yeah.
The day before the pole raising, I joined the brothers to chat about the process and why the pole is being raised at Coggeel's Kikwai.
So this is an old village site, Coggeel's, and I never knew too much about the site before this project. So the Skidans people, another name is Coggeel's Kikwai, which means those born at Coggeel's. So even though their village is away from here, how it works is you follow your mum's side. So a lot of the Skidans ladies would be married into this village, and so their children would be born here and then end up going back to Skidans later as they grew up. So the Skidans people have a big connection to this village. And, sort of, you know, I think definitely a goal of mine, and I think, you know, all of us as carvers enjoy putting the poles, you know, sort of back out in the old village sites and around in different areas, as opposed to, you know, it's always amazing to put one up in your own village too, but, you know, it's this whole island is ours, right? So it's good to put them everywhere. It's taken over a year of carving. We had the tree on our first project that we worked together on, which was the pole that went to Jasper. We actually got the log originally for that, so it was something that we sort of started on together and had. That project was a collaboration, and then because it wasn't going in the ground, there's bark seams in the base, and the one in Jasper was going on a big hinge, so we couldn't use this one. So it sort of sat since then, and it sort of
15 years or so.
So our department really is the carving, and it's the Skidans people putting on the potlatch, and that's when the business will happen. So the pole itself is like marker commemoration of what's the business of the potlatch.
Yeah, that's a good distinction to make. So the potlatch is not a celebration of the raising of the pole, but rather the pole serves to remind people into the future of what happened at the potlatch.
But before we get to business, there is a pole to be raised. Diane Brown says a prayer, and Jolin begins to do the carving dance, emulating what it looks like carving the pole. What you are hearing is Jolin breathing life into the pole. And then the Gdansta pole is raised. Hundreds of people raise the pole with four giant lines of rope, and when it is level, the ground is filled with rocks. The sound of all of this is incredible.
Slow down on the back. Hold up. Yeah, Rodney and Ernie, tighten up a little.
Well, that was Chief Gdansa himself singing in front of the pole with the youth. Now there's a closed-door ceremony that, sorry guys, cannot be shared. But after, we'll all head to the hall for a feast and potlatch that we can share. While we're waiting to go to the potlatch, I'd like to share the song with you from another Haida musician, Carson Gray. Born of Haida and mixed descent, Carson Gray is an award-winning singer and songwriter who blends the peace of her surroundings on Haida Gwaii into a soulful sound, spiked with R&B energy, pop, and a twist of local spirit, which, if I may say, her spirit is dope. This is Salona.
Oh, Salona, is everything you are. I'm a shining star. Everything I am. The sky, sea, and that the sun above got a hold on me. What's L-O-V-E without you? And what am I without you too?
Salona by Carson Gray. Now back to the business of the potlatch. We call it the business part because that is where all of the ceremonies, namings, etc. happens. Previously banned and all but eradicated, the art of creating and erecting totem poles has been practiced by the Haida forever. Different types of poles mark different things. A potlatch is place and time, and the pole is an event reminder, as I have newly learned on this trip. Different types of poles include clan crest poles, mortuary poles, or memorial poles. There are potlatch poles, and there are even shame poles. Now, I didn't know a lot about shame poles, so I did a little bit of research. Shame poles are carved to, I guess, embarrass people who've done something wrong. And they were really common in the 19th century, but they're still around. So a couple examples. In Cordova, Alaska, a shame pole carved by Tlingit fisherman Mike Weber to protest Exxon Valdez oil spill. And in Ketchikan, the Seward shame pole commemorates the U.S. Secretary of Interior William Seward, who arranged the purchase of Alaska from Russia. So in essence, it's a protest. And that's cool. Sometimes these overlap and have different purposes, but they are similar in that they tell our history and clan story. After the pole is made for the occasion, the potlatch, which is sometimes a multi-day event, everything kicks into high gear after years of planning. This is where our business, our ceremony, and celebration happens. It's hard to put all of this into a nutshell, as there are many reasons for a pole and for a potlatch. For instance, a potlatch is also traditionally a demonstration of wealth, which is shown by gifting not only materials and food, but also skills. A potlatch is also where Haidas receive their Haida names. Mine is Nanskan Kaju, the one who is the killer whale singer. Pole raising and ceremony, I head to the hall in Skidigit, or Tlakilda, for the potlatch. Everything is underway and the Klu Haudenay singers are singing and dancing. It is standing room only, as the hall floor and the upper floor balcony are packed. Dance groups are invited from all over to potlatch and to share and to bear witness. From the audio, you can hear the regalia swoosh and the drums and the rattles in their hand. To actually describe it, I think Guai said it best.
It's an expression of slickness. So if something is pretty huh, you can rest assured that it's pretty slick. Deadly is actually probably a perfect descriptor.
Huh, that's the word I'm looking for, and that doesn't exist in the English language. People were looking right. Huh. The words, the dancing, the history, and the opportunity to hear the elders speak. Huh. Food. Huh. The spoiler alert, the gifts are gonna be. Huh. Now that we've set the scene, let's go inside the hall where Terry Lynn Williams Davidson is sharing history.
We are what anthropologists call patrilocal, meaning that we lived in our father's town, but then we were raised by our uncles and our aunts, sometimes in another town. 1886 and 1887 was a period of dramatic population loss on the east coast of Paraguay. In 1888, the people remaining at Spidans and Anu left those villages and they formed a new village that included other southern Haida people at New Clue, which is also called Arasta Creek or Church Creek. So we all amalgamated there before we came to Skidiget. At this point, there were only two southern villages outside of Skidiget: New Old Harbor, Haina, and New Clue. The remaining members of all other villages had already moved to this town in Skidiget. In 1891, the Gold Harbor families, the Haina families, moved to Skidiget, leaving only New Clue as the last hangout. And the people from the southern villages at New Clue moved to this village in 1897, including the Skidazarians. Our history shows that we are a people of genealogy. We are related to each other, we are related to our land, and we recognize our ancestors in the land. We see evidence of this interrelationship in our clan names, like the Aviles Pequawai. The name most people use today, Skidabs, is actually the English pronunciation of our clan's chief, Gedansta. Gedansta means from his daughter. The high name for our village is Kuna, and the town itself was called Kuna Limlai. We have also called our ancestral village of Skidabs Huachi Ilmalai, or Huachi Lanas, Grizzly Bear Town, because the grizzly bear was a favorite crest of our clan. The Skidiget Inuit people called our clan the Shrinal Lanas, or the Kamshula Town people. This is likely because all Haida people lived the first part of our lives in the town that our father came from, as I said earlier. But later in life, moved to our mother's village to learn from our clan members. For example, the boys moved to learn from their mother's brothers, and the girls moved to live with their Aulalum, their mother's sisters. Hazel Stevens, a very old and wise woman from this community, once told me that Susan Williams was truly a Shkinuljat. Susan Williams' father was from Kamshula, and therefore she was born there and raised there, as well as in Skidams. Later in life, she moved back to Skidams to be raised by her clan in Skidams. Her first husband was Chief Kamshula, again keeping the linkages between our clans. It has been said at the time of contact that Chief of Skidams was one of the most influential of all Haida chiefs. His importance was gained through the art of peace, not of war. This peacemaking was not only in Haida Gwaii, but through an exemption from war with the Tsimshian because of our close relationship with the chief of Lapplands, Kitkatna, Chabasa. Therefore, one of the responsibilities of all Skidam's ravens is to carry and develop the art of peacemaking. It is our understanding that our great-grandmother, Susan Williams, Gidafkotsle, whose name I carry, held the chieftainship of our clan when there was no longer a male member old enough.
I love peacemaking, and I love that that's a tradition. I've been thinking a lot about that since the Haida-Heltzik peace treaty, and since then the relationship with Bella Bella, like, has grown so strong, you know. And you think about like colonization and what they tried to do, and the fact that we're just like, you know, so separated. So I think like bringing people together, it's like just stronger together. Anyway, Tarlin's amazing. So potlatches, they can last for days and days. Like, I think the longest one I went to was Bo Dick's potlatch in Alert Bay, and that was 3 days.
We come together, we sing, we dance, and then we feast.
In the early morning hours as the potlatch winds down, I'm kind of reflecting on past potlatches. In the beginning, there was so much to learn, but with every potlatch, I learned more. At Clue Haudenay's Canoe Launch potlatch in the summer of 2024, I was asked to write their theme song. No pressure, right? I was so overwhelmed to joke with my cousin Candace Weir that she always had a way of making people rise to the occasion in the most terrifying way. I finish the songs about 5 minutes before the potlatch. I feel like ending on this note because I also feel like all of this does take a village. And I'm so proud to be Haida because it is so inclusive. And everyone has a role and everyone is included, even if you're in a rock band. There is so much to learn and ways to grow if you just show up. The things that I bore witness to you, the conversations I had, and the wealth of knowledge that was passed on will never be forgotten. So happy, so huh. So here's my song I wrote for Clue Haudenay's potlatch. How if you're listening?
Culture is made possible with funding from SiriusXM through the Community Radio Fund of Canada. Words and Culture is produced by Kim Wheeler. Kaylin Belair is our audio engineer and editor.
Hausin Dan King Sam.
Maltus.
Ninuis Ahaha Miku Kwakwal.
Kachu Nautano.
Wapamatin Mina.
Do you like music or do you like technology? Or do you like talking to people? CJSF Radio is the place for you. Here at CJSF, the opportunities are endless. You can interview artists and bands, speak up for what you believe in, or even host your own show and tons more. To find out more information, visit cjsf.ca.